Morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Good to see everyone. I was just looking around this morning and I was thinking, there's some people here I don't really know. It used to be when I come to Burn, I just knew everybody that was here. And then there's a lot of people here that used to be here. You guys, it's an outreach church. Praise the Lord for that. I was encouraged this morning to be here. Thank you, brother, for the word, the exhortation in running. Let us not be weary in running. And I was thinking of running. It's a picture of exerting ourselves. And I don't know if any of you know many athletes, but they don't eat like I do. They don't exercise like I do. They're very disciplined. They have a purpose. They have a goal. They want that crown. And they're going to do whatever it takes. I think of Lance Armstrong. Many of you know him, right? He was the famous biker. But after many, many years, and he also had a sickness. And so that's what made him stand out. He was outstanding because he had some kind of disease. But he was this athlete that was coming in first place time and time again. And after many, many years and many crowns won, he was exposed because they're not allowed to use steroids and various things. And then his partner, one of his teammates, exposed him and said, yeah, he's using this stuff. That's how he's doing it. And I was thinking, running and enduring, going through all that, and then not winning. At the end, you didn't win anyhow. You cheated. You were disqualified. But you still got a lot of trophies. But those are really not yours no more. You really can't claim them. And so I was just encouraged this morning, let's run. Let's not be tired. Let's run. Let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us again, Lord. Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather here to worship you. Thank you. Thank you for the freedom we have in this land. Lord, there's many corrupt things in this land, but we do thank you for this freedom, for the opportunity to worship you unhindered. The only thing that hinders me today to worship you, Lord, is my flesh. Father, we made a lot of commitments this morning in song. I pray, God, that each one of us, that it would be our deepest desire. It wouldn't just be words. Father, thank you again. Be with us, Lord. I pray, God, give me the words to speak. You direct me by your Spirit. Father, that you be glorified and that your people edified, Lord. I trust you'll be with us here. And we do thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to stir our hearts up, stir our minds up and put us in remembrance. That's my goal. That's my encouragement, is to encourage us on. I don't know what all you face here, but I do know this. As the church in Burn, Indiana, you face something. And you wonder why. How do I know? What do I don't know. I don't have details I can say you're facing this, that, and the other. But I do know this. Where there's people, there's things to work through. I don't care what church you are. You've got things to work through. And my encouragement is that we do it together and we make it. That crown that Kevin was speaking about, he was talking about running, giving us a picture of running for a crown that's corruptible. But he was giving us a picture of one that's not corruptible. That glorious crown that Jesus Christ will crown us. I want to encourage us to go for the gold. Get it. Don't stop. And too many times, we stop along the way and have a little time of time out. We fight a little bit and we squabble here and we fuss here and we lose our way. And my encouragement is that we make it. So, as I speak here, that's my encouragement, is that you make it. And if I say something and I step on your toes, I apologize. My goal is to hit your heart. My thoughts as of late have been a lot on the return of the Lord. That's where my thoughts have been. I've preached a message similar to this already. However, the return of the Lord. It's a beautiful day out for the Lord to come again. Is that really right in your heart? Is that what you think? It's an awesome thought. The return of the Lord is an awesome thought. In two ways. For those that are running that race, giving it their all, they're looking for Him. It's an awesome thought. No more tears. No more pain. Rest. An awesome thought. Isn't it, brothers and sisters? It is. No more sickness. No more sorrow. No more death. It's life. And He is the light. There's no need for the sun or the moon. He's the light. It's an awesome thought. The return of the Lord. And it's a reverence that we have. When I speak of fear here, I'm talking of reverence. It's an awesome thought. Those of us that are in this camp here, that's the fear that we have. There's a reverence. We stand in awe. But there's another fear. Oh, I hope you don't come today. I'm not quite ready. It's still an awesome thought. It strikes awe and fear in our hearts because we're not ready. The return of the Lord usually does two things, and those are your two. You're either looking forward to it, or just wait a little longer. Just wait a little longer. Not because I want more to be saved, but because I'm not ready. I've got this little thing. It's just a little thing. It's not a big deal. But I still don't want to meet the Lord when that thing is not in the blood. It's a big deal. It's an awesome thought. Are we looking forward to it? Are you looking forward to it? I am. And I praise God for that. We sing songs, Some Sweet Day. I'll sing up there songs of victory. Will we? Will you? I don't know you, but you know you. God knows you. He knows us. And so we can honestly answer this today. You know, if we're going to be that athlete that Kevin was talking about, that runner, we can't skip on our diets here. It's got to be pretty strict. Because otherwise, we're not stopping to pick backpacks up to carry along. It's on us. It's us. It's part of us because we're not fit to run. Will we sing those songs of victory? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. What does that do for you? It excites me. You know, sometimes we're going through some pretty difficult times and we think, oh, if the Lord would just come, I'd be just fine right now. I was driving along the other day and I drive truck. I'm going through Chicago. And if you all know the traffic there, it's chaotic. Anyhow, I'm driving through there. I'm talking to my wife on the phone. I said, you know, beautiful day for the Lord to come. And sometimes I feel like that because I'm overwhelmed. It's like I'd just love to go right now. And I was thinking of it in that picture. Sometimes it's that way. But other times it's, we just want to go be with the Lord. It's a beautiful day for Him to come. We're ready for Him. But in due time, He will come. When the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and time shall be no more. I was thinking of that song. I thought about asking the brother to lead that for us. I'm just going to read these three lines to us. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. And the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. So each time I get to the end of this line, I want you to think, will you be there? Can you say with an honest heart, I'll be there? And the only way you can say with an honest heart is if the blood has been applied. If the blood has been applied, you've surrendered your life to Him. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Will you be there? Let's be there. By faith, we can be there. I was reading, come across the verse in Matthew 26, 41. It says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We live in a time, friends, more than ever before, this is very necessary, to be watching and praying. Because, yes, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is also weak. And when we stop watching and praying, we start falling. We start losing ground. And then we lose our way. More than ever before, we must be watching and praying. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it tells us to be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Then the next verse tells us to awake to righteousness and sin not. Watching and praying will bring that out of our life. We'll be awoke to righteousness. Speaking of praying, being watchful and prayerful. That's my encouragement to us today, because the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And the signs are there. My encouragement is that we don't look for the signs. But we're at a place, friends, that we start listening for the call. The trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. The clouds are going to roll back. It's going to be exciting. I don't even know if I'm going to stand on my feet. I'll probably fall on my face. It's going to be exciting. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you know what? The choice is ours today if we're going to be there with Him. That glorious morning is going to come. And if we're not watching and praying, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. A lot of people get caught up in looking for signs. Looking for the signs of the times. Friends, it's like writing on the wall. The signs are there. It's clear. Let's start listening for the call. That trumpet sounds and the clouds roll back. Let's be ready. Let's be excited about the coming of the Lord. Samuel, he had a heart of watching and praying to this degree. He says, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way." A heart of watching and praying. Is that our heart? I'll be honest with you. There's days, there's times I go through life and I hit a really flat spot. It's not this super spiritual feeling. I feel a little flat. I get busy sometimes. I get distracted. We were warned about distractions this morning. I get distracted. Then my prayer life just kind of goes by the wayside. My watching isn't so watchful. And maybe you don't find it that way. I'm just being honest. Life's just that real for me. There's times I hit those. But brothers, let's repent. Let's be watching and praying. Let that day not catch us unaware. For some, it's going to come as a thief in the night. But for others, it won't. It'll be an expectation. He's coming. Let it be an expectation for us. In 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read a few verses here. Chapter 5. "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. I'm just going to stop there for now. A good exhortation for us. He's coming. He's coming. And for some, it'll be as a thief in the night, and others, they'll be ready. I was thinking also of the account of the 10 virgins. There were 5 that had oil. They all had oil, actually, didn't they? The account would tell us they all had oil. But the bridegroom just didn't come. He just took a while for coming. You know, it says that don't think that he's not coming. Because the reason he's not coming, he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. But he's coming. And he gives us this account here with the 10 virgins. They were waiting for him to come. And it doesn't give us everything in detail, but it does tell us that some slumbered. It tells us that some slumbered. And I don't know what this slumbering was. Maybe it was pleasures of sin for a season. Maybe it was the pleasures of sin for a season. Maybe they had an old school thought pattern. An old school thought pattern. I'll just repent before he comes. I'll just repent before I die. That's an old school thought pattern. That's been around for a long, long time. A lot of people still live that way. I'll just repent before I die. And I've heard many testimonies of people that have gone that way and they came down to the point of death and they found no repentance. They found no repentance. They couldn't connect with God. It seems that their conscience was seared. Maybe for some of these virgins, I'm trying to bring it in a practical sense for us. Maybe it was just another job that I needed to get done. Just one more job. And yeah, it's probably not as straightforward as I should be in my business practices. But just one more, and then I'll make it right. They were slumbering. That's part of sleeping. They were slumbering. They weren't watching and praying. So all these other questionable things start coming into life. Maybe it's just one more thing that I want to do. But I'll repent before I die. I'll repent before I die. Maybe it's just another good time. Oh, just one more good time with my friends. Maybe it's that. Yeah, I know it's not the way the Lord would have me to live. I know. But I'm going to get right with the Lord one day. I'm going to change that. I don't want to keep that up. One more time here and I am done. Do you know what? I can actually testify to that as being a young man, unconverted. But I feared God. I knew my mom taught us heaven and hell. And I knew where I was going. And I would often pray to God, oh, just Lord, just one more time here and I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. This is the last time. And I'd do it again. And again. And I would go scared too. I was scared because I knew. Just one more time. One more good time. And I'll repent before I die. They were slumbering. Many think they have this opportunity. Friends, we had a young man, his dad, in our congregation had an accident. Somebody pulled out in front of him, they swerved to miss him, and they shot off the road, rode the truck. End of the story, the truck was smashed. Dad was pinned in it with his head out the window where he couldn't move. He couldn't do anything because he was stuck. And I asked this young man, actually he just voluntarily offered it. He said, you know, that whole time, when people say that they're at the last minute, they're going to get right with God. They're going to do it. Now, that whole time, when I swerved, I shot off the road, we started to go end over end, I never once thought about, oh Lord, forgive me. He said, it didn't come in my mind one time. Never thought of it. I was trying to figure out how to keep things right side up and where we're going. And his dad said, never thought of it one time. He said, but he was pinned in there for about 20, 30 minutes. He said, I had time to think then. He said, I started talking to the Lord then. But you know, friends, we think we got time. Time's a privilege. Just like your driver's license, that's a privilege. It's not something you deserve. And we had a farming accident near home. And most of you know about that one. He died within minutes of having his legs cut off by a machine. We just had another accident. I think it was yesterday. Some of you know James Miller from, he's a retired pastor from Cuba Mennonite. He fell and hurt himself. And right at first, it didn't sound like it was too bad, big of a deal. And it's like, okay, he's got maybe some fractures. He needs to do some surgery. And that's what the nurses were kind of conveying. Then all of a sudden, it's like, well, he's on a breathing machine and he's on a feeding tube, and those are going to be on him for the rest of his life. So y'all got to make a decision if you want to do surgery and then let that all on him, or if you want to just let him go. You know, it's just like that. He was an older man, but he got around fine. He got around fine. But my friends, my point in telling you this is I don't think you've got opportunity down the road. You may not have. There were some virgins that were sleeping. Their lack of watching and praying, they were found wanting. We can take that out of that passage. They were found wanting. That trumpet sounded. You know, I just picture the bridegroom came. And they were slumbering. They were slumbering. There were 10 of them. And 5 of them had oil. And somehow they managed to maintain their lamps. Okay? I picture them watching. Being watchful. He's coming. They knew he was coming. So they were preparing. And there was 5 of them there. Yeah, there should be plenty of oil. It shouldn't take him that long to come. And then they got tired. And they got distracted in life. And I don't know what all they got caught up. But I just picture them sleeping. And then all of a sudden, the trumpet sounded. He's coming! Oh no! Light the lamps! The clouds rolled back. He's coming! What's that do for us? I got my lamp. Oh no, it's out. You got some? No, you got some? No, go get your own. We're going. Get it. We got to get home. We got some. Well, is that enough just to get oil? He's already come. We're here. Oh, door's shut. He'll open up. It's us. It's the 5 that we ran just a little short. We're a little late, but that's... Open up. It's us. You remember us. Surely you do. Our lights are really bright right now. You can see us. Open the door. It's too late. Friends, it's that serious. Life is that serious. You know when Noah went into the ark? Can you imagine the people crying out to him? I don't know. I don't know if God let him even hear all that, or if he shut his ears, if he made the animals rejoice or something. I don't know how you can handle that. People outside screaming for mercy. But that door was closed, and Noah could have done all he wanted to do to open that door. But God closed it, and it was done. And when that trumpet sounds, those clouds are rolled back, and the Lord comes. And then when He's gone, it's too late. There's no more opportunities. It's too late. Today is the day for you to be saved. Not tomorrow. Today is the day for you to wake up, to be watching and praying, and stop sleeping in your life, and claiming the name of the Lord, and sleeping in life. Today is the day that you and I need to wake up. We're going to miss it if we don't. We're going to miss it. We'll be sitting there. Yeah, it says here that this year's going to happen, and not there. What you think, Brother Aiden? You think that'll happen? No, that's probably another 1,000 years before that's going to happen. So it'll probably be our great-great-great-grand-great-great-grandchildren. Somewhere in there, probably. We need to stop looking for signs. We're at the time, friends. The time is at hand. Even if it doesn't happen in your lifetime. You're going to meet God one day. You're going to give an account to God one day. What are you going to tell Him for all the time that you slumbered like these five virgins? What are you going to tell Him? Oh God, You understand. You know, You didn't come in a while and, you know, it was a little boring. And so I had to spruce it up a little. Is that going to work? You're not even going to have a casual conversation with Him like that. He's a holy God. And it's by His grace and mercy that we'll see Him. Let's not be of those that find themselves too late, out of oil. You know, when I read this passage about the Lord's return, for some reason it smote me. And there's areas in my life I needed to wake up. I was lazy. I needed to wake up. And that's my heart for each and every one of you. If there's areas in your life, wake up. Today. Wake up while it is yet today. While you have opportunity. You know, you as a family, parents, you don't have time to sleep. We don't have time to sleep. Our children depend on us to chart a course. They're depending on you to chart a course. Are you going to chart it? Or are you just going to amble on? I hope it just kind of by bumbling along, it works out. And for those of you in here that aren't part of the ministry, you know, preachers will take care of your family. They'll direct them. You just keep feeding them and get your sleep and get your rest and do your fun things. And if they step out of line, the preachers will be there to set an order. That's the wrong mindset. You take care of your family. You teach them the value of submission to authority in the church. You teach them the value of brotherhood. You teach them that stuff. They don't need to learn the hard way when the ministry has to come and say, brother, this is not going to work. Sister, this is not going to work. Can we help you? And then you, because they just seen dad that way. Or mom. You teach them those values. There's no time for sleeping. There was two grinding, one taken and one left. It's too late. One was gone. And I've been trying to fathom that. I was thinking the other day, I was talking to my wife. I was like, I'm driving along in my semi and there's only me in here. And the Lord comes for just me. He's going to park my truck or it's going to be a mess. We're cruising along in the highway. But it just hit me in a fresh way that just gone. Just gone. Two grinding, one left. Too late for the one behind. It says that there were two in bed, I think it says another account, that then there was one left. Too late. You know, let that not be us. Let's not be found too late. I was thinking of the prodigal son. I just want to pull an analogy from this account here. I was thinking, both of these young men had a father. They could talk to him. They were connected to him. They were both sons. Now I want to pull an analogy here in the picture of we are God's children. They knew the Father. They knew the way. Dad taught them the way. I just picture he did that because he asked him for some things. They knew the Father. They knew the way. But they chose their way. And it spoke to me one day. I was thinking about that. I was just thinking about the church. And you know, they were expected to serve their father. Just as we are, when we're all born again, we're expected to serve the Father. It's His way. Not my way, His way. And I see the same picture with a lot of Christians. They get born again. And yeah, it's all great. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's exciting. But all of a sudden, they start making their own way. oh, you know what, this doesn't really mean that. If you really study this out, Brother Allen, you'll find that it really doesn't mean that our sisters wear a head covering. If you look at the wording, you know, and we just start pushing things aside. And all of a sudden, we're at a whole different place. But the great thing about that is, for these believers, is that they still have the Lord. Isn't that nice? But this prodigal son, he was a son. But he left his father's way. Okay? He left the way that was made for him. And I've seen believers over the years leave the way that was made for them. And I've seen a lot of train wrecks in families. I've seen a lot of disaster in families. This breaks my heart. But why? It's because we choose to make our own way. God made a way. And I don't know how your family operates, but in my home, I have expectation for my children. My wife has expectation. We together do. It's unacceptable in my house. And if you come to my house, God bless you when you ever do. I enjoy seeing you. But I'm just telling you, if you come and you got muddy boots on, I'll probably kindly ask you to stop at the door and take them off. We've got expectations in our home. God has expectations in His home. Okay? It's just that simple. We can learn from just practical ways. I won't make you leave. I'll just ask you if you take your boots off. And if you can't, I'll probably clean them for you. Because my wife works hard to keep my house clean. So, the prodigal sons, they knew the way and chose their own. How many times are people doing that today? I remember reading of an account. I can't think of the man's name. A lot of Anabaptist people are following him today. He's got dreadlocks down to his back. And can't think of his name. Anyhow, that man. Someone asked him once, what about your long hair? Bible says we're not supposed to have long hair. And his response was, the Lord and I, we worked that out. We worked that out. Oh, isn't that nice? There's a lot of things in life that our flesh would like to do. And I never thought about just having a conversation with the Lord and working it out so we can keep doing it. But no, God has a way that He wants us to walk. To not make a new way. And I think it's a crying shame that our Anabaptist people are flying to people like this. It's heresy. It is not truth. God and I have a mutual understanding, so I can keep doing the things that I'm doing. That, my friend, will find you on the side of too late. The door is shut. He's already come and He's gone. And you're not with Him. That mentality will not be in glory. Does the clay say to the potter, why'd you make me this way? That's the same concept. God, why did you choose to make it this hard in the Christian life? Why'd you make it this way? No. Because, you know, when we've been delivered, there's this joy and this freedom that we have. That the ways of the Lord are not grievous to me. His commandments are no longer grievous. But I see them as a joy. It's a little bit like there's a couple ways you can look at a commandment. You can look at them as, blessed are ye if you don't do this, or don't do this. You follow that? Our children often pick up, don't do this. I can't have two ice cream bars. Just one. Don't take that second one. Or, blessed are you. A good example of the children is, my children one day, they were riding with me. This is when they were just little guys, my three oldest ones. And I bought them some candy, each a pack. How many can we have? And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to let them have whatever they want. I said, you eat as much as you want. Empty the bag. And I encouraged him. My oldest one, he wisened up real quick. Because He must have crossed that bridge somewhere along the line. He only ate a few and put his bag away. The other two, and it wasn't a huge bag. The other two, they just jumped right in. They loved it. But see, he picked up, blessed are you if you don't eat too many. And they didn't pick that up. And so they ate. Well, it wasn't long later and bellyache set in. You see, I could say don't eat more than three. Or you could hear it as, blessed are you if you only eat three. If you eat more than that, you're probably going to get bellyache. Do you see the blessings? That's how the Lord is with us. Look at it as blessings if you do or don't do things. Not a, I can't do it. Should love to go over there. I can't do it. But the when we make our own way, we become selfish, disillusioned, and we lose our way. That's what happens when we make our own way. This prodigal son ended up at the best place of his life, in a pig pen. The only place where he could just look up and say, what am I doing here? And that's where we end up when we're living in selfish sin. At the bottom, we look up and say, I need help. We need help. This is where he ended up, in the pig pen. But you know what? If I go back to my dad and just be a hired hand, I mean, they even got enough to eat. That's a good idea. He repented and went, and he was welcomed. But he says, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. He took ownership of his actions. Brothers and sisters, if you've been making your own way, you've been excusing the commandments of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, because you had a conversation with him. Today, you need to take ownership and repent. You have sinned against him in heaven. You need to take ownership and repent. There is no other way. What you feed will grow. I was thinking of being this life of watching and praying is intentional. It's intentional. It don't just happen. It won't just happen. It's intentional. It's something you purpose. Romans 8, I'm not going to read it for sake of time here. What you feed grows. Either it's life or it's death. To live after the Spirit or to live after the flesh. What you feed is going to grow. It's a purposeful walk. And if I want a close walk with God, then I must live intentionally. That is an intentional choice of mine. And sometimes, just to be practical, we need to be intentional. And I'm going to give us a few practical points. And I don't know where all you are at in these things. I intentionally purpose to not stay up to date on the news. I probably don't ring a bell here. Now, I'm not saying you're ignorant of the times that you live in. But you know, I wake up and I can go to prayer, to reading, or I can go to, oh, look what happened to Israel. Oh, do you see in Ukraine? Oh my, that's just too bad. The guy in Fort Wayne. You follow me? What I feed is going to grow. And if I feed myself the news, then I will grow in the flesh. Because that's what that's going to feed. But if I feed myself spiritual things, I'm going to grow spiritually. It's just like a law of gravity. It works that way. I intend to live a purposeful life. I intentionally purpose to not fill my mind with YouTube. And maybe y'all don't have YouTube. But I've been to churches where, yeah, they all use flip phones according to their agreement. I don't know how you do it here. Then I know of people in those churches that have their second phone. And that's used for other purposes. My point is, entertainment, if we are going to fill ourselves with that, we're going to go down. I intentionally purpose to not fill myself with YouTube. I intentionally purpose to not fill my time with gaming, whether that's electronics or just playing. If that's all my time is consisting of, I'm going to purpose to not do that. Because it's going to kill me. It's going to take me down. And I don't know, some of you may know me, but I like to play basketball with my boys. I'm not talking about don't play with your children. I drive trucks and drive horses and play with cows on the floor in my living room. And actually, we all do that. My boy, big boys do too. We all like to get down to his level and play. I'm not against that. I think you understand my heart. The gaming world is a big world today. You can make a lot of money in it. You keep getting your levels, and that keeps being worth something. And Alan can never get to the level I get, so he pays me $5,000 to take off where I'm at. This is how that thing works. So you can stay into upper status. It's a lot of money involved. A lot of idle time. A lot of wickedness. Stay away from it. I intentionally purpose to not fill my time with phone calls of telling or learning some new thing. Does that sound biblical? Does it? Who was it that had that problem? Who? I think so. They love to sit around and tell and learn some new thing. That's not like gossip. Yeah? What's another word for gossip? That we can make it so it like really hits hard. Anybody know? It starts with an S. Slander? Well, that would probably fit too. I'm going to shorten it up. It's shorter than that. This is probably one that we get caught up in the easiest. You know, in Proverbs it tells us, yea, these six things the Lord hate, and the seventh is an abomination unto Him. What's the seventh? Anybody? What is the seventh one? Sowing discord among brethren. Do you think that gossip... Do you think the word gossip has an opportunity to do that? Do you think that thing will sow discord? Can we do that? Yeah, we can. Brother Allen, did you know? Just pray for him. Pray for him. He really needs our prayers. But did you know? Did I care? Did I pray? I didn't. I could care less. Well, I would never tell you that. No, I don't feel quite like that. But listen, brothers and sisters, it's sin. It is sin. We can pound a lot of things. But you know, if we could ever control our mouth, we could fix a lot of things too. Learning and telling some new thing. I intentionally purpose to not be a busybody in other people's matters. Some people thrive on that. I intentionally read my Bible so I can understand how to serve my God better. Those are purposeful things. I intentionally serve others even when my flesh wants to say, He had it coming. He had it coming. Hope you learned something this time. And he's at the bottom. He needs a little financial help. Or he needs help fixing something. Should have knew better. Are all your diagnostics correct? Probably. Probably. But is that the response of Christ Jesus our Lord? No. It's not. Another thing. I intentionally choose my friends. I intentionally choose my friends. And I want to be clear here. Those of you walking with the Lord, you're not allowed to be exclusive and make people feel unwanted. But a friend is somebody that you kind of confide in. You have a connection with. You can grow and mentor each other spiritually. That's a friend. If somebody's my friend that has loose values, that could care just a little less, but yet names the name of Christ, I'm going to go that way. Be not, what was the very first verse I read this? One of the first verses I read, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good morals. They do that. They do that. I intentionally purpose to do or wear whatever I'm doing. I'm doing it with a purpose. I am God conscious. I am concerned about how He wants me to live. I am intentional in my work life. This might hit a little close to home for us. I'm intentional in my work life. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a lot of brothers that are not intentional in work life. I'm providing for the family. That's great. But where's godliness with contentment? Where's that coming in? Oh, I'm providing for retirement. Okay. Do you follow my thought? There's just never an end of where we can go in finances. Except for godliness with contentment is great gain. I'll tell you a quick story of a fisherman. I've appreciated this story. Because I found myself doing things with my family and feeling condemned sometimes because I'm not working like a few others are. And so the story blessed me. I was thinking of this story of a fisherman that he went out, he fished for the day, and he caught the fish that he needed for the day. And then he was sitting there teaching his son how to fish at the dock there. Some of you may know the story, but for those of you who don't, I'll say it anyhow. And he was just spending time with his son fishing. And this wealthy fisherman comes along and he says, you know, he asks him what he's doing. He's why he's not out there fishing. And he says, you know, if you would go and catch fish all day, you would get enough money to where you could buy a boat and have somebody fish for you. You could go out and catch more fish. And then you'd have enough money to buy a fleet of boats. And then you have a lot of people fishing and working for you. And then you could sit back and enjoy life. Does that ring a bell to you and that's how you go through life? Does that ring with you? Work, work, work so I can sit back and enjoy life someday. I just so blessed with this humble fisherman's answer. He just looked at him and he said, and keep in mind he's fishing with his son. He just looked at him and said, what do you think I'm doing now? What do you think I'm doing now? He's enjoying life. And he didn't have to go through all that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you see the gain? He had time for his son after he provided. So just ponder that in your life. I don't know what that looks like, but I know it blessed my life. And you know, living this Christian life is intentional. Staying surrendered to the Lord just happens. But living the Christian life is intentional. Staying surrendered to the Lord is intentional. It's a choice. It don't just happen. We sing that song, take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. All too often I feel like we're lying when we do that. There's some of us ain't saying the truth. We should reword the song so we can be honest. It should say something more like this. Take my life and let me be. Take my silver, not my gold. All in my wallet I withhold. Those phrases should ring a little clearer for some people. You know, when we don't have godliness with contentment, we're greedy. Needs come up. The offering goes around on a Sunday. I worked hard for that. I don't know what they're going to do with it. So we just pinch it just a little bit. Shave off something you were going to put on. You follow what I'm saying? Greed. Take my silver, but not my gold. What's in my wallet? I'm going to withhold that too. You give the Lord a little. But you know, He wants it all. He wants to be Lord of all. We aren't intentional with work. It's all for us. The church ends up not being supported when we have this selfish mindset. The ministry is not supported. And I know we grew up in a culture, and I'm sure you all did too, where you don't pay your ministry. That's fine. You work that out as a brotherhood. But I do want to tell you something. That is very, very unbiblical. Very unbiblical. A lot of people like the verse. It gets often used at weddings. The verse that talks about, and to communicate, forget not. Talking to husband and wife, don't forget to communicate. Look it up. See what it means. It means, and to communicate, to forget not, to communicate. It means get your wallet out and don't forget to be supportive financially. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about you and I talking. It's talking about getting out your Benjamin Franklins and say, Brother Allen, thank you. And we bless you as you go travel for a week. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about standing behind your ministry. Oftentimes, I find it interesting. Sometimes the ministry is supposed to keep a job, take care of a family, minister to the church, and whatever else comes along with ministry to the church. And you keep a job, take care of the family, and go to church, and they minister to you. Now, they didn't tell me to say anything. They probably would have forbade me if I said anything. But I'm simply telling this to get you a picture. Be supportive to your ministry. I don't know how you do all that, and I don't know how that looks for you. But be supportive. Be supportive. You expect them to put in 24/7, they're on call. Oh, we got sickness. Someone died. This happened. But then you won't get your wallet out. They don't want. I don't do this ministry for the Lord for pay. It feels odd to be paid to travel somewhere to preach. But when you stop and think about it, you take a week off work, and if you're not well off, you sure felt that week. And you're probably not going to be able to jump into work quite as rapidly when you get home. Just all these things add up. The expense of travel, it's just practical. But we don't think about it. We didn't grow up that way thinking about it. But I want you guys to consider. Maybe you all do something. Lord bless you if you do. But be supportive of your ministry. It goes further than that yet. And your ministry will probably never preach a message on supporting your ministry, by the way. It's difficult to. Brother Paul at home, he preached an expository message on something once, and I forget the chapter, but it talked about supporting ministry. He just kind of read the verse and kept going and talked about the rest of the verses. Later in the back of the sanctuary, several brothers were there and said, hey, why didn't you expound on those verses? Like, well, he goes here, and then they went on and said what it meant. It meant that we as a congregation need to be supporting financially. That's what it means. Like, well, yeah, I know that, but it don't feel good to talk about those things to our home congregation. But live with an intent with your finances. Have purpose with your finances. If you invested in the kingdom of heaven, you're going to get it back. It might not be in this life, but you're going to get it back. It's an investment that never is to be regretted. Play the stock market and all of a sudden you got $50,000 in here and it was $3 a share and it went down to 15 cents a share. And it's like, oh no. It's going to take 100 years for that to climb back up there. I'll never get it back. That's right. But if you're engaged in the kingdom and you invest $50,000 over time or at once, whatever, you're going to get it back. He says 10%. You're going to get 10% interest. No. You get 100-fold. Some 30, 60, 100-fold. Overflowing is what He's telling you. You can't outdo God. Be intentional with your finances. And I will probably say that's probably one of the closest things to a man's heart is his wallet. That's probably one of the closest things. And that's probably one of the least talked about things in our circles is a man's wallet. Because it creates a lot of tension. And this is one quick aspect of what it creates. So you have a brother that's lazy. He's not intentional in being diligent in his work. All things that I do diligently towards the Lord. Okay? That means if Paul's your boss here, Brother Aiden, then you diligently serve him. You don't show up at 9 o'clock when you're supposed to be there at 4. You show up at 4 or 3:45. You diligently do it. You pour your heart into it. But what happens is you have the brother that's been, in English, lazy. He's not diligent. And he loves the blessings that the church gives. And he doesn't have nothing to give to it because he doesn't apply himself to be able to do that. And then you have the brother over here that he's doing financially well and he's very diligent in everything he does. And he looks at that brother and says, I can see why, you know, he would think that we should put all our money in one pot and live in one happy family. You follow that? That's where that causes a lot of tension. And so that's why I encourage you, look at your finances. Look if you're living with a purpose. With being intentional about it. And you lay that out before the Lord and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Like, oh no, give it. Okay. Do it joyfully. And blessings will flow. You'll never miss an investment in the kingdom. I intentionally purpose to live in a way that I can build the church and not be a burden to it by the way I live. Did you hear that? I intentionally purpose to live in a way that I can build the church and not be a burden to it by the way I live. Our choices can be a burden to the church. They can. Our choices also can be a blessing to the church. A strength. But it takes a purpose. I won't be a fence rider. You might not have any of those down here. I won't be a fence rider. Half in and half out. Getting all I can from the church, sucking it dry. I won't be that person. I purpose to not be that. You know what, brothers and sisters? I can tell you a real easy fix to that if you wonder if you are or not. Can I say it? Yeah? Some of you say again? All right. But you know, it takes an honest ministry on the other end. Go to your ministry and just ask them. Just ask them. Am I a burden in some way? Is there something in my life I could do different? Is there? What? And your ministry will be honest with you. They may say, you know what? I'm going to pray and come up with an answer for you. Even though they might have one, yeah, I really want it. No. Carefulness. But you know what? Before I was ordained, I did that to my fellow minister. Because it says they're supposed to serve with joy. It's pretty tough sometimes to serve with joy when you got hot breath on your neck. Not getting it done right. Step up here. Or you got a fence rider. Or you got somebody that's trying to go that way. And yet wanting not to leave, but he just wants... It's not building the church. Come together. Build the church. Be honest. Ask those questions. There's a young man asked me once. He goes, what do the brothers think of me? He's single. What do some of these brothers think of me? I said, well, ask them. He says, there's things in my life that I could do different. I feel like I'm like a little flat. I feel like I'm not growing. I just feel... And I want to. I said, why don't you pick out about 5 brothers that you know will be honest with you and ask them. I said, but you better be ready for the answer and take whatever they give you. And later, I find this brother and I are talking. He goes, hey, you'll never guess. Brother so-and-so called me. He asked me this question. I can't believe it. And then later, I find out this brother was asked the same question. He asked about 5 different brothers about his life. He's only going to prosper if he takes the answers. That's all he's left to do is prosper. I was one of those brothers he called. After I told him that, he calls me the next day. He goes, hey, you know what you told me to do? I said, yeah. Okay, I'm asking. I go, oh. And so we had a good, honest, heart-to-heart conversation. And he says, thank you. Intentional in your life. Being intentional, it's a walk. You feed the flesh, you're going to die. You feed the spirit, you're going to live. I think my clock is running out here. Just a couple keys real quick in acknowledging the Lord. Being watchful, being prayerful. Acknowledge the Lord in all you do. In everything you do, acknowledge the Lord. Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Brothers and sisters, there's life right there. You take those three verses, apply them in here, and you make them you, and there's life. You're going to grow. You're going to be alert. But I was thinking of acknowledging God. And it's important to acknowledge God. It's important so the Scriptures tells us that if we're going to go, we say that, okay, we're going to go here this day and we're going to do this. We're going to make money and great gain and then we're going to go back, whatever. You follow that thought. But he says, say, Lord willing, I'm going to do that. If God permits me and wills me to do that, I will do that. That's acknowledging God. So in my mind, I don't say, Lord willing, out loud every time. But I make it a pattern of my life. Lord willing, I'm going to finish preaching here. I'm probably going to leave and go back to my doings at home. Okay? I don't say, Lord willing, I'm going to walk down from here. And Lord willing, it's a mindset. But if you struggle with that mindset, because that mindset brings God consciousness in our choices, is what it does. But if you struggle with that, then do it verbally. Do it verbally. Acknowledge God verbally. I do different things sometimes in acknowledging God. But it's important to verbally acknowledge God. You know, if you struggle with that, because if others know that you acknowledge God, it changes the way your encounter with that person is. It often does. If I start a business conversation with someone, if I didn't acknowledge God up front, I'm going to struggle. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to really struggle later on. How's this going to dampen this? How's this going to... Oh boy, I don't know. But if you can acknowledge God in the onset, it's a blessing. How do you do that? Are you born again? No, I'm not saying that. You don't have to go there. You can if you want. But simple ways to acknowledge God. You know, maybe He greets you with a good morning. Yes, it's a beautiful morning for the Lord to come. How are you? Okay, well, that's out of my box. Well, get out of your box. It's okay. But that acknowledges God. It brings God here. And then the outcome is often different. And He knows from there on that you acknowledge God. I even sometimes answer my phone that way. I try to make a habit of, beautiful day for the Lord to come again. It brings a God consciousness. You mind the Lord, but acknowledging God in all that you do helps you to be watching, helps you to be prayerful. And acknowledge God, you know, in every aspect of work. Singing can acknowledge God. Giving thanks. Pray without ceasing. All those things acknowledge God. And our attitude, our speech, those things acknowledge God. I was thinking there was when we verbally acknowledge God in these areas, it brings an accountability to you from the outside. It does. There was 20 years ago, there was an incident that happened to me. I said something in a teasing way. You guys ever tease? I bet you do. But this here brought a God consciousness to me. It was nothing bad. It was nothing it was nothing in that sort. And I was just a young believer. And this fellow that I was working with, he was against us. And so, you know, he jabbed at me every chance he could. And I said something in a teasing way. And then he responded with, "My grandpa always said that a funny lie is also a lie." Your grandpa's right. I didn't argue with him, but I took it to heart 20 years ago. And today still, I struggle with teasing and lying. Oh, I didn't mean it. Did you follow that thought? I threw this here in the trash. You're teasing a child. It's in your pocket. It's a habit that I'm forming. But I endeavor to avoid that. And it takes a carefulness. But it took a heathen to tell me that. And I'm like, ooh. Felt a little bad, I did. But it never left me. And I want to just encourage us that being purposeful in the way we talk, even those little things that we think don't matter, they matter. What a ministry to be involved in prayer. Pray without ceasing. And if you're a diligent prayer warrior, that'll change your life. You'll be alert to what's going on. And you don't have to be ordained to be part of a ministry. The household of Stephanas, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Think about it. Serving the saints. Now, many, many accounts we read of people praying. And I want to just encourage you young people here. All of you, but I was thinking especially you young people. You know, in our home congregation, it's not uncommon for me to get a text mail or a card of appreciation or words of appreciation from our young people. "Hey, appreciate what you preached today." Or I may get a text in the middle of the week saying, "Brother, praying for you. You know, be faithful, lead strong, and God be with you. We're behind you." Those things, I can't put value on what those things mean when they come from our people. Those things are powerful in your ministers' lives. Simple things of ministering to the saints, making a meal, helping on a project. Those things are all good for us. And also, I'm going to just quit here. One last thing I would like to leave with us is your ministry needs your support. It's appreciated beyond words. And to help you understand something, there are few people in this world that there's no grace for. You say, it's grace for everybody. Sure. It's just at a different level. But what I want to bring out to you is, how many of you had a bad experience at a doctor? Anybody here have a bad experience at a doctor? Maybe. Yeah. And so he has one bad experience. And it's nothing too major, you know. I'm not talking about excusing something obvious. And so he has no grace for that doctor. He says, "Don't ever go there. Mose, don't go there. Brothers, don't go there. Philip, Luke, don't. Guys, this doctor is awful. I mean, I had the common cold and she prescribed something. Way off. Don't ever go there." Zero grace. Common cold, she made a mistake and gave him the wrong stuff. Well, I do want to tell you something. That a doctor is called a practitioner. He practices. A heart surgeon, he's a heart practitioner. He's practicing on you. Because we're all different. He's always gaining knowledge and ground. So give him a little grace. A mechanic, you guys probably never had a bad experience with a mechanic down this side of 469 probably. "Oh, don't ever go there. That guy, told him to change my oil and he did something else. And he did it because of whatever reason." No grace. So you just start blowing it around. That's two. Doctors and mechanics. We have zero grace for. Man, if they mess up, phew, out the door they are. Do you know mechanics? They practice too. They don't always know what's wrong with your vehicle. Sometimes it's a trial and error, or it's a process of elimination. Well, let's start here. Okay, it's not here. Not here. Maybe it's here. Want me to change it, Alan? Well, if you think it might... Yep. Okay, well, not here. Alan leaves. $800. Things still don't work. Three pieces he changed. Can't believe it. And I went over to Paul, and he's like, well, let's try this. And Paul only did process of elimination. The guy already had three of them out. Paul went to the fourth one. And got it right. Hero. Everybody go to Paul. This guy... write him off. Zero grace. And the other one that has zero grace is preachers. They can never mess up. If they mess up, oh my, do they ever get it? Is that right? I want you to do something. I want you to read the qualification for your ordained leaders here. And then I want you to read it in a sense of, it's telling you, if you're choosing one, it needs to be men of this criteria. It's not saying that the church should only have one or two men of this criteria. It's actually expecting that the church is full of this, but if it's not, then these men can't be. It's got to be these men. You follow what I'm saying? You can all be holy men of God. You can all be a one-woman man, right? You can all be having children in order, right? That's for all of us. It's not for just your ordained leaders. So give them some grace. They've got a family, and the same blood that runs through you runs through them. They come from Adam, just like you did. They're human just like you are. Give them some space. And if you really want to get hot and heavy on their back, you can. And I'll tell you how to do it. You get on your face before God. And you start praying. And you pray hot and heavy. And it will get to them. God will take that and do something with it. But first pray that your heart's right. They didn't ask me to say all those things. They asked me not, actually didn't ask me specifically to say anything. But it's just some of those things that I get really burdened by when a congregation has no appreciation for the church, for the ministry, for the church, for what they're laboring for. And when I say no appreciation, maybe I should say little appreciation. Because before I was ordained, trust me, no idea the nuts and bolts that went in this thing. No idea the amount of oil that you burn at night. I didn't. No idea of the complaints that you get that really they could have fixed themselves. I'm not saying that in an unappreciative way. I'm only telling you to be watching and praying. That's where your ministry can use help. Watching and praying. And when you do that, you're working alongside of them, building the church. You're all one team. Instead of, he ain't got quite something right over there. What's he doing now? Wonder where he's going. Did you see that? Can't believe it. Those are just real things. And they happen all the time. Churches, ministry are getting tired. They're getting tired. What are they getting tired from? It's people. The people are wearing them out. That's why Jethro said, Moses, you're going to have to do something. You're going to wear out. And Moses did something. Lord bless you all. And I pray that each one of you can be found watching and praying, anticipating the return of the Lord because He's coming. And if you're not ready, you can't go. But if you are, Lord willing, I'll see you there. Because I, by the grace of God, plan to be there.